Hi, everybody. It's The Takeaway. I'm Sean Carlson in for Tanzina Vega. We are so glad you're with us. On this last day of 2019, we want to look back at one of the big trends in TV over the last decade, political shows where corruption, dysfunction, and incompetence rule.
Now tell me, am I really the sort of enemy you want to make?
Being an upholder of the Constitution, you'd need an arrest warrant, wouldn't you? Do you have one of those?
Didn't those founding ever hear of an odd number?
Those are moments from House of Cards, Veep, and Scandal there, and we can admit there's not a lot of optimism about our political system in those clips. But if we turn back the clock way back pre-2010, the landscape looks a little different.
How do we make the American dream a reality for all who work for it?
We all have something in common. That's President Teddy Bridges. He picked all of us to be a team.
Let's show them how we're going to respond. I want them to see how we protect our citizens. We will not put up with racism or xenophobia.
That's the West Wing Commander-in-Chief and 24 there. Politics weren't always as ugly as it looks on TV today. And with U.S. politics off-screen, as divided and hostile as ever, it feels like real life isn't so far off from what TV writers have been dishing out over the past few years. Joanna Weiss writes about this in her new piece in Politico titled How TV Predicted Politics in the 2010s. Joanna is a writer in Boston and the editor of Experience magazine. Hey, Joanna, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hey, Happy New Year.
So in your piece, you talk about different trends that we saw in the mid to late 2000s. Can you talk about the idealism that we saw during the time period and what that was all about?
Well, in the early part of the 2000s, the aughts, I think the most indicative show on TV was The West Wing. Everybody knows that show,
right?
And it's very sunny, optimistic take on politics. I mean, it started in the Clinton era, but it was really a Bush era show. And it was about a liberal White House under President Bartlet. But it really assumed that people on both sides of the aisle were passionate about their causes and dedicated to the country and really patriotic in this way that they just loved the American institutions.
In hindsight, it feels almost naive in how it talks about politics, given what we're going through now.
I think so. I mean, I think it's kind of liberal wish fulfillment in a way. I mean, it's from liberal Hollywood creators wanting to see their policies championed in the most eloquent way. But there was also this idea that, you know, everyone's in this together, and if we just give the right stirring speech, then we can inspire people to do the right thing.
Can we talk about the end of President Obama's first term, kind of turning back the clock to kind of where we're at right now in terms of a new presidency? What was television looking like at the end of Obama's first term?
Well, it got a lot more cynical, and I think for a couple of reasons. I mean, one, a couple of shows came in that had origins on the other side of the pond. You had Veep, that was created by a guy from Scotland who had a lot of experience with these kind of dark British comedies, or dark comedies about politics. You had House of Cards on Netflix, which was based on a British drama from the 1990s. And these were shows that did not have that kind of reverence for American institutions, and they had a much more cynical, I mean, a completely cynical take on politics and the people in politics.
So in your piece, you focus on political television from the early 2000s to today. And we talked about The West Wing, but what other shows about politics before the 2000s are generally optimistic about the political scene in Washington?
You know, there was a show called Commander in Chief. It starred Gina Davis as the first woman president. She was an independent. She was, I think, the vice president who got elevated into the job, and she was going to inspire people. You know, there was 24, which was an action thriller. You know, like Kiefer Sutherland was the star, but it had the first black president, you know, played by Dennis Haysbert. And there were a lot of people who even thought that seeing a noble, upstanding black president was something that helped pave the way for people to imagine a real-life black president.
Joanna, we want to play a clip from House of Cards for you.
Have you thought this out?
Because when we go to court...
You mean 6 months from now? You're expecting in four, no?
That's 4 months without the medicine you need. I'm willing to let your child wither and die inside you if that's what's required. But neither of us wants that.
This is definitely not something we'd be hearing on The West Wing. It's a pretty dark scene. Can you walk us through what's happening here and what it tells us about the cynicism of House of Cards?
That was Claire Underwood, played by Robin Wright. She is the wife of a rising politician who was played by Kevin Spacey, this sort of power-hungry guy who was just working power very cynically. He eventually becomes president in the show. Spoiler alert, Claire Underwood also eventually becomes president right. in the show. But they represented this view of politics where everyone's in it for themselves. There is zero idealism. There's zero principle. And the things that people will do for power range from shoving someone in front of a moving metro train to withholding medicine from someone as a way of blackmail. I mean, yeah. These people would do anything.
Can you describe this fall from grace, this darker, cynical approach, and how it came to be? And aside from House of Cards, what are some other examples of this kind of programming?
One of the things that struck me the most rewatching all the TV from the 2010s is that even the shows that had a kind of optimistic trapping were really cynical at the base about the people in politics. So you had a show called Designated Survivor, also starring Kiefer Sutherland. This right. time he's kind of a mild-mannered HUD secretary who gets elevated to the presidency because during the State of the Union address, he's the one outside the Capitol and someone blows up the Capitol. So he's president, but he's not a politician. And then you had Madam Secretary, which was starred Taya Leone. She was a former CIA analyst who becomes a college professor. She gets called in when the Secretary of State dies to be the Secretary of State, and also is explicitly called in because she's an outsider. So these are two characters who are brought into Washington who don't play the game the way the career politicians play the game. And that is the source of their virtue. And one of the things that, you know, in particular, Madam Secretary does, she breaks the rules really explicitly because she doesn't trust the rules. There's this really telling scene at the end of the first season where she's hauled before Congress because she gave classified information to her husband. She basically violated the Espionage Act. She's in a Senate hearing. She admits that she did it because she just didn't trust the people in Washington. And then she storms out of the hearing and everything's okay. And this message that the rules don't matter if you can't trust the people who are creating and living by the rules. That's, to me, the most cynical thing of all.
We actually have that scene on tape for those who didn't see that episode.
I put myself in harm's way to ensure the safety of our country. I would do it again, sir. So, Mr. Chairman, I'd say the only reason that we're here today, luxuriating in the smug banality of a Senate hearing instead of ducking for cover in all-out war, is because I had the decency to violate Section 793 of Title 18. Thank you. Now, let me rephrase that. You're welcome.
Luxuriating in the smug banality of the Senate hearing. I feel like that's something you could hear at a Senate hearing today.
Yeah, my jaw kind of dropped when I saw that.
Could you talk about whether or not you think that this kind of portrayal with outsiders being able to shake things up in politics and, you know, really stick it to the man, do you think it influenced the 2016 presidential election? Or is it the other way around?
I mean, there's always a little bit of a chicken and an egg thing with TV and politics. And I think in general, TV kind of reflects something that's going on in the country. And I do think by the end of the Obama era, there was a sense of cynicism that was kind of bubbling up. And so I think this sense, particularly among, you know, liberal people in Hollywood who were creating these shows, that Washington really was broken irreparably in a way that the stirring speeches from the West Wing wouldn't be able to fix.
What about when we look at, say, political comedies like Veep? Do you think that shows that go for laughs fit into some of the broader trends you've noticed, or do they fit in a separate category?
I mean, I think there's a catharsis when you're watching something like that. If you do feel cynical about Washington and you're watching a show that plays that for farce, I think it's a little bit cathartic. It kind of feels good. Also, that show was so outrageous that it made it feel like what was happening in reality couldn't be quite that bad until the Trump era came in. And if you watch the last season of Veep, it felt like a loose transcription of the 2016 election. I think part of the problem the show had in its final seasons was that it kind of couldn't keep up with the craziness of reality.
The takeaways, Amy Walter spoke with the showrunners of a few political TV shows. Here's what Gary Trudeau, the creator of the sitcom Alpha House, had to say.
There are really two ways in for political shows. You can either try to insert your characters, your stories, your sensibility into the current reality. And the other way is to set up a parallel universe.
Do you think what Trudeau outlined there squares with your perceptions of political television?
I guess so. I mean, I think a lot of these shows did create a parallel universe. You think about Scandal on ABC, which was really a soap opera that happened to be set in Washington, but just imagined everybody in the White House to be ridiculously, even beyond House of Cards, ridiculously corrupt. Presidents killing Supreme Court justices and things like that.
Right.
So, yes, that's an alternate reality that, again, is so much worse than regular reality that maybe you feel a little better about the craziness of your own life. But yeah, when the real news cycle starts to get crazy and soap opera-like and starts to catch up to the bananas nature of political TV, I think that's where a real-life cynicism starts to set in.
And do you see any new trends heading into 2020?
Well, newer shows, I think, have been just as cynical. We saw Ryan Murphy's show The Politician on Netflix. That's a political allegory set in a California high school, and it's about these teenagers who act like Veep-style political operatives. On the other hand, I was just talking to a friend who has an 18-year-old son who is watching on Netflix reruns of The West Wing, and he loves it, and he's so inspired by it that he wants to enter politics and become a speechwriter and be like, it is possible that a new generation of people that was too young to feel all that creeping cynicism of the 2010s might find these old shows anew on streaming television and get optimistic about politics all over again.
Joanna Weiss is an editor of the Experience magazine from Northeastern University. Her new piece in Politico is titled How TV Predicted Politics in the 2010s. Joanna, Happy New Year. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.